Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, and men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today comes to us from Scotland, where our guest lives by the sea in Edinburgh. He is the award-winning journalist, author and speaker, and head of communications for Fathers Network Scotland. It's Nick Thorpe. Nick, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bill. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's great to have you back. Yeah, as I said, it was May last year when we spoke, and when we spoke last time, we were talking about the campaign for Year of the Dad. Now, we've got a new campaign now, but I wonder if you could just tell us how last year's campaign went.
Oh, it was an amazing success, you know, a real roller coaster ride of the year. We're a very small organisation, just had a few people working for us last year, but the whole of Scotland really got on board with the idea that supporting dads to play a bigger part in their kids' lives really benefits everybody, women, children, society as a whole. It just spread. The ripple spread. I mean, you guys were great tweeting and interviewing me and so on, and actually your contribution, your email was read out in Scottish Parliament as evidence of how far the campaign had spread. But it was a great unifying and a very grassroots campaign, I would say. And we were just delighted recently to receive an award, a PR award for a kind of a small but really feisty campaign that worked well.
Well, that's really good news. And did you find there were any lessons to be learned from that campaign that you brought into the new campaign for Dad Up?
Yeah, just that it's always better to go for a win-win. I mean, you know, when there's anything around gender, it's easy to get sucked into kind of polarizing debates. But actually what we discovered is that when the message is right, everybody gets that this is good for everybody. It's not some men's rights campaign. It's about everybody being equal and everybody having a role to play in our children's lives, and a very important role.
And it's an interesting name, an interesting concept, Dad Up. Now, I presume there's some link to the expression we often hear, man up. You know, a young fellow who's not perhaps playing his part will be told to man up.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole idea for Dad Up came from some students in the university in Edinburgh who we kind of challenged to kind of come up with the next campaign for us to run. And it's interesting that that age group are already very tired of the kind of idea of man up. You know, what is that actually supposed to mean in a world where kind of caring and earning are now shared responsibilities? It's a kind of dinosaur idea, man up. So they came up with the idea of, well, let's not man up, let's dad up. Let's really empower men to sort of embrace their kind of nurturing, caring sides and be right at the center of their kids' lives along with mums or other partners or caregivers. And it's, again, it's really caught the public imagination. People love it.
And as you just said then, it extends beyond just the biological father. It includes father figures and uncles and grandfathers and all sorts of people that might have a role there.
Yeah, that's really important to us, actually. We've stressed that all the way through from Year of the Dad as well, that we're living a wonderfully diverse world with all kinds of caregivers and sort of, I mean, dad is, for want of a better word, I mean, we can use the term father figures, which feels a little more distant, but, you know, the general idea is somebody who carries that male energy, that role in a child's life.
It does apply well. It's always intrigued me that no one ever says woman up. Now, maybe it just doesn't have that same ring to it as man up, but it clearly identifies, I think, that you're targeting the males, that you want to have a greater role in this.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose we don't say women up, but I think historically, of course, we've kind of assigned particular roles to women, which have been equally harmful in kind of trapping them in particular spheres. So I think the idea that when you allow men to take on, if they want, a kind of really central domestic role, that women are then also empowered to step up in the workplace and everybody benefits. So I guess if there had been a phrase woman up, it would have meant, you know, get back to the kitchen sink historically, which is equally rubbish. You know, we're saying, you know, we're all involved. Those outdated stereotypes just need to be left in the garbage pail.
And speaking of those stereotypes, I mean, it's interesting you've gone to advertising to get this campaign name, but really advertising a serial offenders in this issue, because they usually portray the fathers as more like dolts, don't they?
Yeah, that historically they have, although we've been noticing a little bit of a shift there, actually. There's just been a few really, really nice ads coming out which have started to challenge this. I think the more that happens, the more we will just see that these old roles drop away. There was one particularly good ad, actually, that won awards. It was an Indian advert, which you can still find on the internet, for Ariel, the washing powder. And it kind of showed the way that men, by default, can sort of sit back and let women work and so on. And it kind of challenged those roles. And then equally, on the positive side, there are some wonderful ads that kind of show men completely immersed in him bringing up their kids and in those domestic tasks. Actually, we did a survey as part of Father's Day this past year in June, and what's coming to light, at least from our fairly small survey, is that men are now doing a lot more domestically in the home as well, which kind of goes alongside the kind of childcare and the involvement in family life. And, you know, that is slowly happening. And I think sometimes these things take a couple of generations maybe, but as we saw with the students coming up with the idea in the first place, their generation has very limited patience for these old stereotypes. Mm.
It's the other side of the coin, isn't it? I mean, if women are going to be in the workforce and contributing equally with the men, well, then men should equally be contributing in the home.
Gloria Steinem, who's, you know, a kind of real firebrand campaigner for women's rights and gender equality generally, pointed out some time ago, you know, until men have equality in the home, there's no way women are going to have equality in the workplace. Mm. And she's right. I actually point out that our team is 50-50 male and female. We're very much a kind of binary organisation of both genders. The women in our organisation are absolutely passionate, as are the men. So it's not a kind of competition. It's just a win-win.
And you have this wonderful situation where you are supported by the Scottish Government in your campaigns, aren't you?
Yeah, they've been really forward-thinking, actually, in that, and we're very lucky. And there's some signs that that's starting to kind of travel south of the Scottish border and into the UK. We actually had a Scottish MP table a debate on the whole kind of concept of Year of the Dad and sort of try and urge the UK government to take that on. And there was complete cross-party consensus that this was a great idea and that, you know, absolutely they're pushing an open door. Unfortunately, soon after that debate, Brexit happened. So along with loads of other issues, it kind of got kicked into the long grass slightly while everybody ran around like headless chickens wondering what on earth we're going to do about Brexit. But, you know, there's definitely willpower out there. And, I think it's just going to become, in a few decades' time, we'll look back and go, what on earth was the problem in the first place? You know, this is so obvious.
So have those distractions like Brexit settled down a little bit to allow the Scottish people to focus on these worthwhile initiatives now?
Well, we've always kept it in the limelight in Scotland, and the government up here hasn't stopped supporting us. We're still funded now, and they're very much behind the Dad Up campaign too. So, yeah, it's never left the limelight up here. I mean, it remains to be seen what our colleagues down in London will do with it, but they're very passionate campaigners down there as well who are kind of keeping the pressure up. So, you know, it's kind of watch this space, I think.
And we're speaking today with Nick Thorpe, the award-winning journalist, author and speaker and head of communications for Fathers Network Scotland. And we're speaking particularly about the new Dad Up campaign for 2017. We're going to take a short break now. We're going to listen to a song chosen by Nick. This one is called Light by Gunga.
Tears came tumbling down.
And that was Light by Gunga. I wonder, Nick, if you just give us a word on why you chose that song.
Yeah, well, these guys, I caught them live last summer at a festival down in England. It's a husband and wife duo called Michael and Lisa Gunga, and they have a child with Down syndrome, and this song is basically a love song to that child, and it just, I find it a very moving testament to how we can see the perfection in our children and just how they are beautiful as they are. And it seemed kind of appropriate to a program about being a father.
Absolutely. Now, your program for 2017, Dad Up, it sounds a little bit like that TV program where they monitor children at different stages of their lives. And I just wonder if, speaking personally, you described adopting your three-year-old son as your biggest adventure, bigger than sailing to Easter Island on a raft of reeds. How would you describe your fathering now that he's a 12-year-old?
Oh, it's wonderful adventure. It's kind of like a roller coaster and a journey all rolled into one. He's just started senior school, which is a whole other period in life, on the cusp of adolescence, with all that that brings. And I'm loving being a dad, and it remains the richest and the hardest thing I've ever done. And I have huge admiration for all of those parents out there who are kind of quietly getting on with the difficult job of mentoring and parenting our young people.
Yes, and I think that is one of the big benefits of your campaigns is that it does put a value on fathering and wanting to be an involved and a good and a caring father. What does Dad Up mean in respect of caring and earning, which seem to be the division that fathers fall under?
Yeah, well, I mean, a good example to draw up would be a guy who's been involved with kind of surveys and stuff for us, who we came across, called David Early. Great surname. He's kind of an early adopter of the sort of stuff that we really want dads to take on. But he's an absolutely passionate dad and was working as a data manager for a very kind of well-known public sector employer, who I won't name for reasons that will become obvious. And he wanted to take advantage of our new shared parental leave policy here in the UK, which enables men and women to sort of split what was maternity leave between them if they want. So rather than the usual kind of tokenistic 1 week and then straight back to work that men have historically taken, he wanted to take 6 weeks off, 2 weeks of paternity leave, and then 4 weeks of shared parental leave, you know, which is not a massive amount, even so, if you compare it to maternity leave. But when he went to his employers, they got really sticky about it. They kind of sort of tried to guilt-trip him into the idea that, you know, he should really be coming straight back to work, and he was putting everybody else out. Kind of attitude you would never see with a woman taking maternity leave. You know, we just accept that when a baby's born, mum is off on maternity leave for 9 months or whatever the country's maternity leave is. That's fine. David Early encountered all kinds of workplace prejudice from both his colleagues, but also from his line managers and HR people, which is the most disappointing thing. So what he could have done in that situation is just kind of suck it up and go, okay, well, it's obviously not going to happen. Explain to his wife he wasn't going to be around as much as he thought. But he fought for it. He brought in arbitrators. He said, this is enshrined in law now. Why are we not doing this stuff? And I mean, he got his 6 weeks, but at the cost of a pretty bad atmosphere, I think, in his employer. And what happened to that employer, and I think it's what's going to happen more and more, is that they lost him, because he was then headhunted by another organization which on paper had the same policies about taking time off, but actually really cared about this stuff. He's now working for an organization called Sports Scotland, which is a kind of government-funded group that looks at how to improve athletic ability and performance. And the fascinating thing we discovered, over and above the fact that he'd get some really good flexible working conditions in that job, you know, he can press his hours, he can work from home if he needs to be with his two kids. The other thing we discovered was that they get it from a sporting perspective, because in the same way that coaching in sports has changed radically in the last century, from a kind of basically flog them into the ground and build those muscles up continuously, we now understand that for adaptation of muscles, we need a great balance of rest and adaptation and obviously exertion. But the resting and the difference is as important as the solid training. So they got that now management needs to take this on for flexible working. And actually they know that they get a better day's work out of David by supporting him in looking after his kids. So he's become a kind of flag bearer for us. He's a great guy. We've got a picture on our website of him with a kind of tartan baby carrier on his front and his little daughter. And we're just delighted that there are people who are no longer willing to accept this kind of old stereotype. And I think the sad thing is for companies like the one that he left, is that they're going to suffer by not sort of taking on these new policies. So that's a rather long-winded answer, Bill, but that gives you an idea of what's going on here.
I wonder if part of that allowing time off for caring is that we are now perhaps just starting on the path of valuing caring more than we have in the past. You know, people need time off to look after their children, perhaps even their own parents.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's no question that we've undervalued women's role in that way for centuries. I mean, any man who's now, particularly on our own, if we have to look after our kids on our own, which is the way they did it in Denmark and other Nordic countries, is that they made sure that men had a good number of weeks where they were the sort of home alone with the baby. Mum was back at work. And in that time, the learning curve was so steep that men went from feeling like, you know, the kind of Homer Simpson bumbling fools that we keep being told men are, they went from that to thinking, do you know what, I can do this. This is okay. It's really hard work, and I really respect what my wife's been doing all these years, or my partner, but I can do this. And so simultaneously, I think we're going to find that there's a huge new respect for women, and also for the job of looking after children. I mean, what could be more important as a job in our society than kind of bringing up the next generation?
Yeah, you've described this as requiring some sort of cultural revolution. I don't know whether you see yourself as a Che Guevara or what.
Che Guevara wearing a baby carrier or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, it's going to be a little bit slower than Che Guevara, sadly. I think because we do need in the UK we need the legal framework to kind of catch up. I think here it's all voluntary, so that whereas in Nordic countries where this stuff's really advanced. Mm. You either take your leave or you lose it. So there's a kind of use it or lose it model here. It's kind of entirely up to mum and dad to decide whether they want to share stuff with all of the kind of workplace prejudice thrown in. And all the studies show that as soon as you enshrine that in law and kind of say, well, if you don't take your daddy leave, your dedicated daddy leave, it disappears. You don't get the money instead. I think we'll find a huge take-up like they did in Sweden, Iceland and so on, where take up is in the 90s, there are kind of troops of dads with buggies kind of camping out in coffee shops with their kids in the same way that mums do. It's like that has been a cultural revolution over there. I think we maybe need that here too.
Yeah, I definitely in Australia as well. You have a family directory that offers advice to dads. Do you have a feeling for what's the most common request for help or assistance from the dads out there?
Isolated dads, usually, who just need to know there's other people who care about this stuff. And it's kind of linking up fathers who, like many mothers for many years, there have been situations where mums have felt isolated on their own with the kids and stuff. When dads increasingly now find themselves being the ones looking after their children, and mum maybe has gone back to work, they too need to kind of meet up with other dads and get mutual support from them and another adult to chat to. So I think we're trying to help stitch together these kind of growing little clumps of dads around Scotland and encourage them that, they're not alone.
And we're speaking today with Nick Thorpe, the award-winning journalist and head of communications for Fathers Network Scotland. Nick, we've reached the part of the show where we ask our guests to pick a song. Would you like to tell us which song you picked and why you picked it?
Yeah, I saw a beautiful film earlier this year with my son, actually, and I'm sure you've heard of it, called Lion, because it's partly set in Australia and it's got Nicole Kidman in it. It's far and away the most moving thing I've seen on the big screen for many years, and all the more poignant for me because I am, as you know, an adoptive dad, and this tells the story of a child from India who got separated from his parents and was adopted by an Australian couple, along with another child, and it's all about his kind of struggle to find out who he is, where he came from, all of the things that I'm trying to help my own son with. So this is a song from the soundtrack, and it's by Sia.
Oh,
that was Never Give Up by Sia from the Lion soundtrack. It just remains for me now to give a special thank you to our guest today, Nick Thorpe. Nick, thank you very much for being on the program.
You're so welcome, Bill. It's been really great to chat to you.
And don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. Go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and you can send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And you can go to Nick's website. I'm sure if you look up Fathers Network Scotland, you'll get all the information. And in the meantime, we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.